what's happening in the political betting markets, what's happening in the elections that are upcoming this just a Tuesday or so away from us, November 8th. Well, they're starting to recognize, even the media is starting to concede what some of us have been saying was always going to happen, thanks in part to the important, essential, critical infrastructure that InfoWars provides and independent information reaching the American people. And that is that the elections are going to be a Democratic bloodbath. Democrats are going to get crushed all of it after they got to see Uncle Festerman in Pennsylvania live in a debate that was manipulated for his benefit. And he still made Uncle Fester look like a beacon of intellectual capacity, actually makes Joe Biden look competent and capable. That's how bad Uncle Festerman is in Pennsylvania. All of a sudden, now Dr. Oz has a superb chance to win there. So what you're going to see is a complete sweep. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the elections. We're going to be talking about the attempt of corporate canceling of Kanye West. We're going to be talking about that and a range of other issues, including what the Elon Musk purchase of Twitter may mean for free speech in America. So come back to us right after the break.
If I'm allowed back on Twitter in the next 24 to 48 hours, maybe there's a potential there. Maybe I'll be allowed to post it. Maybe I'll finally be allowed to post my content on Twitter again, Bob. What do you think about the purchase now, or what's your legal take on it? When will we know the significance or the completion of this Twitter deal?
Well, I mean, Elon Musk went into the Twitter offices and brought literally the kitchen sink with him. So that was an interesting way. I mean, here you have a master troll trolling the Twitter company that he now owns and will soon control. And so I think we'll see. What he has said is it's not going to get too wild, but that he wants to restore it. His focus is not advertising. His focus is not making money on it. His focus is on restoring a free speech zone in a meaningful manner, that it still has some balance. And I think you'll see the rule. I mean, if he's smart, he'll emulate the rules that Rumble embraced. Rumble put in rules to avoid people getting harassed and stalked and having obscenity and all the things that nobody wants in a social media platform. Anyway, all of that Rumble got rid of, while at the same time protecting a very broad, very robust range of free speech. Kanye's free to be on Twitter. Alex Jones is free to be on Twitter. Russia Today is free to be on Twitter. If that becomes the reality, because that's what is true of Rumble. Kanye's free on Rumble. Alex Jones free on Rumble. Russia Today is free on Rumble, et cetera. Restore it. And we've seen him be willing to challenge the institutional narrative on the Ukrainian war in the last month or so. So this will be a great chance for Elon Musk to show his bona fides. And if he does, he should restore Alex Jones to Twitter. He should restore RT to Twitter. He should restore Owen Schroyer to Twitter, to Savannah Hernandez back to Twitter. There's a bunch of people that should be restored whose bans were always baseless in the first place. And maybe I won't be completely suppressed. I mean, I did sue Twitter. And so after I sued Twitter, Twitter decided that it was time to suppress my existence. You could even search for a long time Barnes Law on Twitter, and I wouldn't even show up. You could even put in my tag name and not show up. So it is hopeful. I mean, Musk is a brilliant troll, funny guy. You know, I'm not a fan of his transhumanist vision of the future. I'm not a fan of his go to Mars stuff. But in this capacity, he has so far voiced honest, critical concern about having Twitter be a robust zone for dissident, independent, open speech, and that how critical that is. He was willing yesterday to criticize the New York Times. And so I think, all the Twitter people are begging for a job. There's talks that he'll get rid of about three quarters of them. He probably should, because a lot of these people are not people that are qualified. They're just censors. Purge the censors out of Twitter and restore Twitter to its original place of being what was promised when people were solicited to participate in Twitter. And all the way back, Jack Dorsey's promise was we'll be the free speech wing of the free speech party. All Elon Musk has to do to restore credibility to Twitter, restore credibility to himself, is restore free speech to Twitter. And so I'm hopeful and I'm optimistic that he will, in fact, do so. So far, we've seen lots of evidence that that is indeed his intention. But we'll know pretty fast. At least the Babylon Bee should be restored.
That's, I guess, the real question here is how is this going to be remedied? Is it going to be where, in just a broad stroke, he says we're going to unban everybody and you can get access back, and then we'll kind of, you know, reestablish a set of guidelines, and if people need to get banned off of that, we'll do that? Or is it going to be something where that's too much and he'll just say you can remake an account and you won't get banned, which is kind of not a good thing for people that had massive accounts with big followings that got banned, that they have to rebuild that up? I guess those are the questions, but the announcement is official. I mean, they're saying the deal is done, $44 billion. So again, we'll see when any of these, when this business deal actually has meaning to the Twitter user. But yeah, the employees from Twitter are now leaving. They're going to Google, they're going to Meta, and they don't want to work for a free speech platform. They'd rather work somewhere that suppresses free speech.
I don't know if Meta is the best place for them to go right now.
No,
I
mean, it's crushed. It's getting crushed badly. It's a bad product. And Zuckerberg, I don't think, has any clue what to do. So you'll be covering that for the rest of the hour. But, you know, I got to get into another issue with you here, because I know you like following sports and you like watching sports gambling and stuff like me. And so I don't know if you saw this. This is so ridiculous here today from the Associated Press. No U.S.-born black players are projected to be on a World Series roster when the Phillies and Astros meet this week, a first for Major League Baseball since 1950. Imagine the effort just to go through the rosters for more than 50 years to find that fact. But they admit they're, oh, okay, so there are black players, but because they're not American, that's the problem. MLB already butchered the postseason badly enough this year. They completely butchered the postseason badly enough this year. Now they're getting accused of racism, which I'm sure they will respond to in a nice liberal, woke way. Bob, can we just get back to sports? You know, can we just get back to sports being sports and get the liberal BS out of the way, please?
Well, it reminds me of Will Ferrell. Remember his whole joke? He's like, a modern baseball team is one American and eight Dominican. The people who are dominating American baseball is the Caribbean Central Americans. I mean, that's who has for a while, and understandably so. I mean, the Cubans love baseball, Dominicans love baseball, Puerto Ricans love baseball, many in Central America love baseball. So it's deeply embedded into the culture of their countries. Baseball is truly an American invention. It's one of the, you know, the great American inventions.
Yeah, I mean, imagine, it's the same thing. Imagine thinking you got a tryout going and there's like, you know, 20, 30 Central American players there and they're really good. And you're like, damn, these are really good players. We're excited. We're going to have a good ball club this year. No, instead you're thinking, huh, I mean, do I have the right skin colors? Do I have the right percentage of whites and blacks? And are they from the right country? I don't know.
And of course, many of the Central Americans are at least part African origin. That's why they have to say no U.S. born black players. Well, who are they being replaced by? They're not being replaced by U.S. born white players, by gringos. They're being replaced by Dominicans and Puerto Ricans and Cubans and Central Americans. That's what they're being replaced by. So, I mean, it's a patently ludicrous claim. It's like women's soccer that wanted, you know, more money for itself than it deserved.
Yeah, now they can't even win a game. Yeah, now they can't even win a game ever since Megan Rapinoe went woke. All right, that's Bob Barnes. He takes over the Alex Jones Show now, folks. Remember, the specials only have 2 days left at InfoWarsStore.com. Shop at InfoWarsStore.com right now while the 50% off specials are still live.
I don't promote things unless they really work. When it comes to politics or culture, economics, we are always the cutting edge, the tip of the spear. And when we talk about the products at InfoWarsStore.com, they all blow you away. If you'll just take them, if you'll just try them, I know you'll be repeat customers. And finally, one of our best-selling products, sold out for months, is back in stock. It's X3. It's all three types of the very best atomic iodine out there that supercharges your energy, your stamina, your libido, and number one, your immune system. So X3, despite the fact there's a run on iodine, is still on sale at 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. and it funds the InfoWar, which is a 360 win. If you've not experienced the power of iodine, it takes 2 weeks to kick in on average, you've got to go to InfoWarsStore.com and get X3 50% off. X3 50% off, InfoWarsStore.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. This is Robert Barnes, guest hosting this hour on behalf of Sir Alexander. So remember, everybody, there's a special global sale going on right now at InfoWarsStore.com. If you use special promo code and very appropriate promo code 1776, you can be part of the 1776 Super Sale, where products are up to 60% off. I was just looking at it to reorder some Ultra 12 myself, but there's also some nice, interesting combo products you can get. You can get an immunity supercharger combo. That seemed cool. Ultimate Immune Support Pack. That's almost, holy crap, that's almost two-thirds off. You can get net there. You get a combination of stuff that's good to boost your immunity as we head smack dab into winter. So definitely head over there and get the benefit of those products. Vitamin Mineral Fusion, Survival Shield X2, Brain Force, and a range of other products that you can get. Also the good new combination packages that are available and being offered at a ridiculous discount, to be frank. So get it now while you still can, and continue to keep InfoWars on the air. Because there's no better way to say screw you to the corrupt system and the hack lawyers and the bad judges and the politically motivated corrupt press than to continue to keep InfoWars on the air. Every day they're on the air, the system feels a little bit of pain, and that's good for the rest of us. We have a lot of interesting news this week. We can start with the fact that today different economic reports came out, including one about GDP. It said, hey, GDP's up 2.6%. That means we're doing great, right? Well, not if you really dig into the data. Core durable goods are not up to the degree they need to. In fact, we're continuing a decline of core durable good orders that look like the lockdown, the depths of the lockdown. That's how bad that economic information is. Inflation continues to just continue to run rampant. And much of the economic quote-unquote gain was due primarily to Europe's debacle of its self-imposed sanctions in its economic war on Russia being a complete disaster. I mean, Europe is such a basket case that they keep going through different leaders. The Zelensky curse continues to rampage throughout Europe, as now, of course, the UK has its third prime minister in about 3 months. You know, the queen dies, and all of a sudden they got to keep getting new prime ministers. And so the new prime minister, if you don't know, is while he is pro-Brexit, which is good, he's otherwise a classic caricature almost of a globalist feature in terms of his approach to politics and public policy. And thus he was early on the air with talking to Joe Biden, who, of course, mispronounced his name when he discussed who he was. And so what you have is Europe is doing so badly that the U.S. has benefited from that slightly. Whether that's a long-term strategy to success is another matter in terms of the U.S. economy, in terms of the strength of the dollar, in terms of how the dollar is strong or weak at home or abroad. But that basically even that positive economic information came with a real big asterisk and a real long footnote, which is that the economy is not quite what it should be. Other evidence of this, mortgage rates are now over 7%. To give people an idea, that is the highest rate in almost a quarter century. Mortgage rates are so high that when you combine it with the housing price increases over the past since Donald Trump left office, the net effect is that the ordinary person to buy the exact same house they could have bought in 2020, to buy that same house today in 2022 requires more than double the monthly premium amount. Think about that, folks. If you want the core of an American dream, and what has that been for a long time in America? For the ordinary person, that means to own their own home. My own mom's proudest moment, or one of her most proudest moments, as she told me on her deathbed, in fact, was the fact that she got to own her own home one day. So that's a core aspect of the American dream, the idea that you own your own home, that it's your property, that it's your little piece of the dream of the world. And that's being taken away from people. And it's being taken away from especially middle-class Americans and younger generations en masse. They're not able to do so because of the spiking mortgage rates, primarily, as well as what got out of control housing bubble fueled by a range of Federal Reserve policies. And now the Federal Reserve is basically busting the housing market and making it increasingly only accessible to the hedge funds of the world. And that's where you see people like BlackRock and institutions like BlackRock, deeply embedded, by the way, in China in its economic investment policies, deeply connected and affiliated with the World Economic Forum, is one of the biggest purchasers of domestic residential real estate in the United States of America. So what's happening is we're continuing to see this massive wealth shift that began during the pandemic because of the policies the West adopted, especially the centralized banks, but not only the centralized banks, during the pandemic, which was to create an inflationary economy that would gut the earnings capacity of ordinary Americans. Wages continue to be growing way less than cost of ordinary and core consumer goods. And what is that? I mean, what you're really looking at is how much more expensive is bacon, is milk, is eggs, is gas, is rent, is utilities. Those are the core things that the ordinary person spends money on. How much more expensive yachts are ain't a big deal to most folks. How much more expensive fancy cars are, or high-end clothes or luxury brands or your new Gucci purse, that ain't the concern of the ordinary American. What is how much does it cost for me to buy baby formula for my baby? How much does it cost for me to buy basic food and grocery stuffs to feed my family? How much does it cost to simply house my family? How much does it cost to simply transport my kids to school or myself to work? How much does it cost to be able to have effective housing in the sense of heat and energy and electricity and those costs? Those costs have gone up way more than the rate that is being tracked by the official government numbers. The one of the best places you can go is you can go to a site called Shadow Stats. And at Shadow Stats, they use the exact same metrics that we used to use. They're not coming up with their own numbers. They're using the exact numbers the government used to use. So they're taking the existing data and applying the formula we used to use in the 40s and in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. And when you look at Shadow Stats, you see even more disturbing information. You see that inflation is actually at 1970s levels. You see that various core cost of goods is at some cases the highest it's been in more than half a century. This is where the economy is going. And because of that, what's happening in the political betting markets? What's happening in the elections that are upcoming this just a Tuesday or so away from us, November 8th? Well, they're starting to recognize, even the media is starting to concede what some of us have been saying was always going to happen, thanks in part to the important, essential, critical infrastructure that InfoWars provides and independent information reaching the American people. And that is that the elections are going to be a Democratic bloodbath. Democrats are going to get crushed all of it after they got to see Uncle Festerman in Pennsylvania live in a debate that was manipulated for his benefit. And he still made Uncle Fester look like a beacon of intellectual capacity. Actually makes Joe Biden look competent and capable. That's how bad Uncle Festerman is in Pennsylvania. All of a sudden, now Dr. Oz has a superb chance to win there. So what you're going to see is a complete sweep. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the elections. We're going to be talking about the attempt of corporate canceling of Kanye West. We're going to be talking about that and a range of other issues, including what the Elon Musk purchase of Twitter may mean for free speech in America. So come back to us right after the break. Welcome back. The Alex Jones Show, guest hosting today, Robert Barnes, for Sir Alexander. We're going to be discussing what may be happening in the elections coming up a week from Tuesday. But first, some other news. It turns out that organization that sued Governor DeSantis over sending illegal immigrants to that sanctuary town of Martha's Vineyard that ended up not much of a sanctuary for those illegals until the Biden administration bailed out Martha's Vineyard by promising them all free visas in America if they would please, please, please leave Martha's Vineyard. Apparently, they already had enough of the low-level workers they wanted there. They didn't want any other immigrants coming into the sanctuary town. Well, it turns out that organization is a George Soros-backed organization, but that's not all. Guess where a lot of the funding for that organization apparently came from? It came from the Centers for Disease Control. That's right. The government has been bankrolling lefty immigration groups, open border groups, George Soros groups to sue U.S. government officials and lobby the government for political change, which is, of course, a legally prohibited, lawless, illegal means of funding activity of a political nature. The government cannot be in the overt, open lobbying business through how it spends its grant funds. And so that has come out recently, and that will raise a range of legal questions that some members of Congress are now starting to raise. Maybe a little bit belatedly, but it gives you a nature of the animal, the way NGOs, non-governmental organizations, have worked around the globe. So for a long time, and there were laws passed that under the Obama administration that liberalized it and made it even easier, we have taken a certain approach to foreign policy with the deep state, which includes not only institutions like the State Department, the Central Intelligence Agency, the National Security Agency, military intelligence within different branches of the Pentagon, not only those institutional forces, as well as the Five Eyes, whereby each of the various, like US, Australia, Britain, and other spy agencies of the West spy on each other's citizens to circumvent their domestic laws limiting on their ability to spy themselves and then share that information with one another. You have those institutions, but the often as critical is the various what's called NGOs, non-governmental organizations. This is the space that George Soros has filled so aggressively since the late 1980s. His biggest pet project, of course, was Ukraine. He has said so publicly repeatedly. And what are these non-governmental organizations? Often they are disguised as charity. Now some you have officially government-backed ones like USAID and others, and these organizations are filled and filtered throughout with various forms of spies and spooks and people that are working for the deep state agenda. But you also have organizations that purport to be independent charities. That in fact often are not in actually charitable in their purpose or point or principle or effect. What they are often open society foundation type groups like George Soros's groups that are there to infiltrate the local political community and to propagate a deep state agenda within those communities. And what's happened over the past decade or so is a product we used to export to the rest of the world has now been imported back home. And what you have is the government giving money to non-governmental organizations, so-called charities, that are then misusing and illegally abusing those funds to be politically engaged and politically active. You have this in a wide range of contexts. You have in the context of money going to U.S. institutions that in turn ends up bringing in Chinese money that ends up raising questions of various seditious and other activities against America's national security interest, for which the Trump administration began a range of prosecutions that the Biden administration stopped and suppressed. But beyond that, what you have is a systematic corruption of our institution. This is one of the things that many people forget Eisenhower warned about in his farewell address. In his farewell address, he did not just warn about the military-industrial complex. He warned about how major American institutions are going to be corrupted by not only this professional clerical class takeover and usurpation of American institutions of power and influence, but also what will happen is that it will corrupt the independence and integrity of those institutions. And what happens is the American universities, the American think tanks, the American intellectuals become co-opted by the money trail controlled by the U.S. federal government. So by an effect, and often it's the deep state that ends up controlling those funds, those purse strings. One classic illustration of this, of course, is in the public health context. You know, people wondered, why were there no major universities, no major medical schools, no major think tanks challenging the lockdown logic, challenging the mask mandate, challenging the vaccine efficacy or safety, challenging a range of policies pushed by Anthony Fauci? It is because, as Robert Francis Kennedy Jr. puts in his book, The Real Anthony Fauci, there's a new documentary out you can find on Rumble. Called the Real Anthony Fauci. That's a documentary version that puts all of this information together for you as well. that right now I think is still available for free. It's going to run out at some point, but you can still find it. YouTube, of course, already censored it, but you can still find it on Rumble. And what it details is how, what the book detailed, that the control and what Eisenhower warned about all the way back in 1961. The reason why there are no universities or medical schools announcing official protocols, for example, health protocols for how to deal with the pandemic. Not only protocols in terms of public policies and public health interventions, but also simply here's a treatment protocol, right? This is like the first axiomatic thing that should happen. It was, how should you treat someone if you're a doctor or medical care provider someplace in the world? You had people like Peter McCullough putting this together. You had people like Pierre Corey putting this together. You had people like Dr. Malone, Robert Malone, advocating for many of these protocols. You had an entire group of doctors around the world who formed in order to advocate for this. You had prominent doctors in France and Europe and Africa and in Latin America all saying, hey, this is what works for our patients. And yet major medical institutions in the United States weren't doing anything. Not only were our medical institutions and the government not proposing a treatment protocol, none of our universities were. Why? Why? It's because, well, why were so many of the think tanks, so many of the peer-reviewed publications not publishing anything about this? Because they all depended on money from Anthony Fauci. One way or another, they were tied to Anthony Fauci or Big Pharma. That's who paid their bills. And that's how what Eisenhower warned about, what Kennedy warned about, what Robert Francis Kennedy Jr. talks about in The Real Anthony Fauci, this is how the system gets corrosively corrupted at its core. And so this latest story of a George Soros organization being given tens of millions of dollars by the government, including over $8 million by the United States federal government and by the Centers for Disease Control. Here you have an open society, George Soros group. Why were they getting money from the CDC? Why was the CDC giving them money? Because purportedly they were going to help reduce the problems of COVID amongst illegal immigrants, even though this organization has advocated for bringing in illegal immigrants regardless of their COVID without any testing, without any requirement of certain treatment protocols. So the instead, what has happened is a corruption either of the government or a corruption of by the government of these institutions to advocate against the interest of the American people and often outside the realm of law. We've imported our bad and deep state foreign policy into the institutions of the United States itself. And that's how you get a leftist organization, a George Soros organization, filing federal lawsuits against the United States political official, in this case, Governor DeSantis, for simply sending illegal immigrants to where they wanted to go and where Martha's Vineyard promised them they could go and have sanctuary status. And he's being sued in a frivolous lawsuit because they have from using funds from the Centers for Disease Control to stop a pandemic. That's how absurd it all got. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk about the elections. We're going to talk about upcoming in about just a week or so. We're going to talk about disturbing reports out of Pennsylvania of a quarter of a million ballots just floating out there to anybody and everybody. Talk that they won't be able to count the ballots quickly enough in Pennsylvania this upcoming election. That and more when we come back right after the break.
X3. It stands for triiodine. Are all three types of iodine that the body needs to be healthy and survive and thrive. It boosts your libido, your energy, your stamina, your immune system. X3 is the ultimate iodine product on the market. It's back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com for 50% off, and it funds the InfoWar. So many of you are on the fence. You know our information is powerful. You know it's changed the world. Try the products at InfoWarsStore.com and start with X3 triiodine. 50% off InfoWarsStore.com. It takes about 2 weeks to kick in. An aspirin kicks in 30 minutes. Tylenol kicks in 30 minutes. This kicks in about 2 weeks on average. You need to experience it. Don't wait. You'll be impressed. InfoWarsStore.com, X3.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. This is Robert Barnes, guest hosting this hour. At the very end of this segment, we'll be discussing some previews and predictions for the upcoming elections in about a week from Tuesday. But just one general analysis of the Alex Jones trial, the show trial that continues to embarrass and humiliate anyone who believes in American law and American civil justice. The last time we had anything kind of analogous to this, you have to really almost go back to the Connie Buck case. So, I'm sorry, Carrie Beth Buck case. So known as Buck v. Bell. This is the case where the United States Supreme Court gleefully imposed forced sterilization on poor women in America. What people didn't know is that Carrie Buck's lawyer was not her lawyer. He was actually aligned with the Rockefellers of the world, aligned with the eugenicists. And what they did was do a fake case. The entire trial was based on fake evidence. Carrie Beth was an ordinary, everyday American. There was nothing about her life other than it being extraordinary that made her subject to even the laws and rules of eugenics. The point was that they could use eugenics to forcibly sterilize a normal person who had no so-called defects, no so-called feeble-mindedness, had been a solid student her entire academic career when she was allowed to go to school, which her foster parents denied. She had been the victim of the foster parents having a nephew sexually assault and rape her and cause her to be pregnant. She wanted to have the child anyway, tried to take care of the child, and because of that, the foster parents demanded that the state forcibly sterilize her to cover up their own corruption and scandals and misconduct and crime. And so they brought in a fake lawyer to do a fake case that the U.S. Supreme Court gleefully cheered on to its utter humiliation and embarrassment throughout history. It became the case the Nazis and Hitler's favorite case ever cited was Buck v. Bell, a case not yet overturned by our U.S. Supreme Court, by the way, and that some want to extend and expand into the vaccine mandate space. In fact, it has been cited by no less than the University of Indiana as justification for vaccine mandates is the forcible sterilization case. That was another fake case. Well, take a look at the Alex Jones trial and the requested punitive damages in that case. They are requesting $2.75 trillion of punitive damages. To give you an idea, this is more money than the Armenians are requesting for the entire Armenian genocide, where actual people died, where millions of people died, that they're requesting for speech that they don't like in the Sandy Hook case, more punitive damages than the Armenian genocide has ever requested. That's how insane it is. To give you some comparison, $2.75 trillion is almost 15% of the entire gross domestic product of the United States economy. That's how absurd the punitive damages request is. That's how open and utter mockery of the entire justice system this case has become. I mean, do the judges recognize this? Do they realize that they are a joke? That they look like a joke? That they're making a joke out of American justice? That they're doing to the American justice system what Daryl Brooks did to criminal defense in America with his embarrassing self-representation and his justified complete conviction on all charges of the Waukesha parade killer. So, hopefully somebody somewhere, someplace, sometime wakes up in our American legal system. Or if not, at least we have legislative reform so that this kind of embarrassing show trials don't have the same embarrassing results that the Buck versus Bell decision did for American legal justice, because that's the same path the Alex Jones trial is currently on. In that same sense, there's a good article in Tablet today called The New Gatekeepers by Michael Lind. I've met Michael Lind a couple of times. He's a brilliant guy. He was part of the Trump administration. He has associations with both the Claremont folks out in California, as well as with Hillsdale up in Michigan, that present a lot of good homeschooling information and other information anybody can get in terms of constitutional history in America. I've had the privilege of speaking twice at Hillsdale presentations, first on the Constitution and the coronavirus at the peak of that debate when it was just starting out, and then also on the issue of election fornication that took place in 2020. And that brings us to election 2022. So Pennsylvania is now reporting that they've basically sent out about 250,000 ballots to a bunch of unverified voters. And then a few weeks later, a few hours later, they come out and say, golly, gee, we would love to count these ballots, but it might take us a long time. Well, we don't know when we'll be done counting the ballots. Now, why is it that in every place else in the world, we can use paper ballots, and Brazil, which also has elections this weekend with Lula up against Bolsonaro in what appear to be very tight races and elections. We'll see what happens. The polls have been back and forth, but they historically underestimate Bolsonaro. Bolsonaro may, when he was considered DOA, may surge back to victory as he did his first time when nobody thought he was going to win and just came in and swept everybody out. May get back in over Lula. Lula does have sort of deep left populist roots in the country. And so that may, you know, he had corruption charges, got off of those corruption charges. He may be able to actually hold on because he does have a real base of support within the working class communities within Brazil. But so does Bolsonaro. A lot of people really like Bolsonaro. He's associated himself deeply with the Brazilian flag, the Brazilian pride, the Brazilian football team, which is soccer as we know it here in America. And so he may surge. The polls have had a hard time accurately reading his support within the working class segments of the Brazilian economy and society who dominate their voting. And so we'll see. I mean, ultimately, Bolsonaro was right about not wanting a lot of crazy restrictions imposed during the pandemic. And the counter has unfortunately, he wasn't able to get those policies through because he didn't control as much of the government as he would have liked. But a lot of people have seen his instincts turned out right. These critics' instincts turned out wrong. So there's already 100 plus lawsuits about potential election issues in the United States. What's amazing is that Pennsylvania claims it can't count ballots the way Brazil can. How is it Brazil can count ballots within a few hours and tell you who won or who lost, but Pennsylvania says they may need days? Places like California claim they need weeks and weeks. How is this? Is it not because the old game was to, going back to LBJ 1947 style winning of elections, was you made sure the other side's ballots were counted first, and then you managed to find just enough ballots for your side to win. That's the problem with delayed counting of ballots. That's why in states like Florida, they have mandatory disclosures as to how many ballots have come in, when they have to disclose those. They have to disclose those very early on in the election night, the total number of ballots. They can't keep finding ballots the way they did in 2020 in Pennsylvania, the way they did in Wisconsin, the way they did in Georgia, the way they did in Arizona. Now, their election law reforms have passed in Georgia and Arizona and in Wisconsin by the Wisconsin Supreme Court, but not in Pennsylvania, where Democrats control both the Pennsylvania Supreme Court and control the governorship. So that Pennsylvania is the state that will be the most likely state if we're to face corruption problems in 2022 once again. However, the American people have woken up. So remember, the best way for you to participate in this is to be engaged in the court of public opinion. Also be engaged at your local precinct level. You can go, you can volunteer to be a poll watcher. You can watch things like these drop boxes. There's a bunch of ways you can directly publicly participate in measuring and monitoring the integrity of our election process. Indeed, one of the best places, of course, to continue to support independent information across the board, before we get to my election predictions for 2022, is right here at InfoWars. If you want the best election that ever happened in American history, it was an election that was taken by direct action, and that was the election of 1776 that my great-great-great-great-granddaddies participated in. One of them was the famous Colonel Prescott, who told his troops, don't shoot until you see the whites of their eyes at Bunker Hill. In the name of those ancestors, you can go to InfoWarsStore.com today and get a special 1776 style sale on product and enter promo code 1776 when you go to checkout, and you'll get even more off. You have products that are 30% off, 40% off, 50% off, 60% off, even 70% off. You can get entire combinations of products. If you want to really boost your immunity, You can get the whole immunity support package. It looks like probably about 70, 75% off. So these are ways you can be involved and engaged. My prediction for the elections, other than continue to go to InfoWars, support InfoWars, undermine the system, the best way you can give a shout out to against the system is to support InfoWars. I think Republicans are going to have more than 245 seats in the House, more than 52 seats in the Senate, more than 30 governorships. It's going to be a bloodbath for the Democrats come November 8th, and deservedly so.
You know where the CIA tunes in, right? You know where the Russians tune in? You know everybody tunes in, right? You know who Tucker Carlson tunes into and Joe Rogan and Elon Musk? You know where they tune in, right? They tune in right here.
InfoWars. Tomorrow's news today.
We are witnessing the mark of the beast system openly rolled out and announced. Whether you believe the Bible is inspired by God or the Word of God or not, what was written over 2,000 years ago by John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos is coming true. A world government that makes you take a mark in the hand or the head to be able to buy and sell, and that you must worship the beast. That means follow what the beast says, or you can't buy or sell. It's not just that you have to have the mark to buy or sell. You've got to do what the beast wants you to do, or you cannot buy and sell. And that's where, in late 2022, we are. Last week, the World Economic Forum was given over $100 million by Government of Canada to roll out a world ID through the UN based on the Communist Chinese digital social credit score system. And now, just today, Bill Gates came out. Here's the article right here. And his foundation donated $200 million to expand digital ID surveillance system for the same Chinese communist control program. So the social credit score in communist China and all the control you see is the model of this system being rolled out in Spain, rolled out in Italy, rolled out in Germany, rolled out in Canada, and now they're trying to roll it out here in America. Just a few years ago, Klaus Schwab, head of the WEF, said, you will have to take a microchip to buy and sell in the near future. And now here we are. So this is a huge, huge issue that they can then dictate to you through this new digital currency, through this world ID, every action you take in your life with a carbon tax, through the social credit score, through universal basic income as they shut off the regular economy and small businesses, making you sign on for government handout. But with that handout comes all of the rules of the game. This is no longer theoretical on some drawing board or some computer. This is something the bureaucrats and the mega corporations and major governments are doing. There's a race between the West and communist China to see with big tech who can put this in first. So it's scary, but at least we are exposing it, and at least we know about it. Just last week, PayPal said, if you criticize government, if you criticize open borders or forced injections or anything else, gun control, we're going to fine you $2,500 for what we say you're doing in your own personal life. We're going to surveil you, and then we're going to censor you. But within days of the announcement, they had to back off because of the backlash. So submitting to this only makes things worse. Standing up to it and saying no only makes things better. And that's why it's so important today, ladies and gentlemen, to say no to world war, no to nuclear war, no to open borders, no to pedophilia, no to the Satanism that is the New World Order. And you cannot do that better than sharing the articles and videos and links from InfoWars.com and Band.video to be the Paul Revere's of your era and to get amazing products that God gave us through Mother Nature to empower our stamina, our energy, our libido, everything else, including our immune systems. And that's why, if you want to support the InfoWar at this critical time, go to InfoWarsStore.com and get X3, the missing link for health that blocks the bad halogens. It's the good halogen, the opposite of fluoride, at InfoWarsStore.com, 50% off. We've got a Save InfoWars 1776 mega sale running for the next week. The biggest sales up to 60% off in the history of InfoWars at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you so much, and join us during this important part of history.